on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM, Prescott, Chino Valley, and Paulden 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, the talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's
Hammer Time.
Waking up with the YCCA. Hammer Time is brought to you by All West Fire and Security, Pure Solar, Franklin Plumbing, Prescott Home Safety, Vicente Landscaping, Badger Roofing, Blind Brothers Arizona, Barrett Propane, Builders Wholesale, Call Tex, Foxworth Galbraith, and Dignity Health. And now from the studios of KQ&A, it's Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA. Here's the Executive Director of the Yavapai County Contractors Association, Sandy Griffiths.
Hey everybody, good morning and thanks for tuning in to Hammer Time. Thanks for being wide awake. Thanks for just thanks, right Mike?
I think it's because they jump out of bed and their feet hit the cold floor and that wakes them right up.
So anyway, listen, the groundhog lied.
I think so.
Punxsutawney Phil so told the untruth.
Not one of my favorites, that's for sure.
Man, was that not bizarre weather Sunday night and kind of Monday with the little snowflakes?
A little crazy.
But the coolness, I like the cool air. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, I think the groundhog.
But the nice thing is it's getting to be that time of year when Monday by Monday afternoon it was gone.
Yes, but still, so, he told the untruth.
That's true.
I mean, come on. Come on, Punxsutawney Phil. So we've got a super show this morning, but then again, all of our shows are super cool.
I think you might be a little biased, but I happen to agree with you.
I am. We're going to talk to Mr. Mitch Zimbrick. I think I messed that up, and I'll wait for him to come on air and tell me. Mitch Z is what I'm calling
him.
Z for short. He owns Get Right Mitigation, and we're going to talk about mitigation. All is good. What's new? Don't tell me you're busy, busy, busy.
I have nothing to say.
You take the fifth?
Guilty.
When are you going on your boat trip?
Actually.
Or was that last weekend?
No, it's this weekend.
Okay,
so as
cool.
soon as we finish this
then
morning.
Then you're out of here. You're in the car jet skiing to the boat or whatever you
actually
do.
Actually, just driving up and getting it ready for the summer. So we'll be back tomorrow morning.
Okay, cool. So an up and back trip.
A corporate weekend. Just go up and back and be ready to go to work Monday.
So what do you do to get a boat ready?
I jack my trailer up to get the wheels off the cold concrete during the winter and put new water in it, check the batteries and
so
blah,
then
blah,
you
blah,
jack
blah.
It back down so its little puppy paws can now sit on concrete?
That's correct.
Okay. Good.
So
distilled water, ionized water, hot water.
Actually, well, because the water that they have where we keep it, it's sulfa water.
Oh.
Yeah, and I made the mistake of filling that up one time and paid the price the whole summer trying to get rid of that smell.
Wow.
So I take some bottled water up and put that in just enough to get it all lubed up, and then when we shove off for our first trip, we stop and put water in at the docks.
So when is your first trip going to be? Is that on your calendar? Because you've not told me anything about taking time off.
Don't know.
Okay.
But the one thing I keep telling my bride is if we leave a little early, like maybe scoot out and have a Friday through the weekend, we still have to be back Sunday night because I have things to do.
Obligations. That's you have right. Hammer Time. That's right. Okay, so take us to break. When we come back, we will introduce our listeners to Mitch Z. And as you can see, I brought an Easter basket of goodies on the table.
Oh, gee, I hadn't even noticed.
I know, you're eyeing them like crazy. We'll talk about that.
You're listening to Hammer Time, brought to you by Yavapai County Contractors Association. And we've got a great programs lined up here with Mitch this morning. Some of you may remember he's been with us before, so we'll look for some renewed great information. We're pleased to be broadcasting on Talk of the Quad Cities. That's KQ&A 1130 AM and 99.9 FM. So please stay tuned for some great messages from our valuable sponsors. Get comfy. Don't turn that dial because we'll be right back.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Hammer Time, brought to you by YCCA. today's Saturday, and tomorrow, if you tune in, which is Sunday, it's Easter Sunday.
That's right. Are you going to go out and look for the eggs?
So, well, I brought eggs in for us. We don't have to look very hard and find them. So let's welcome Mr. Mitch Zimbick. How'd I do, Mitch?
You did awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I just wanted to add an R into your name.
No, it was perfect.
So, okay, you guys, I brought Easter.
Wow.
I brought Easter stuff. So what do you think? What is your favorite? I brought little Easter things.
Well, you know what I think about chocolate. And the perfect.
You love it.
Yeah, well, in a balanced diet is a piece of chocolate in both hands.
Okay, so I have... Seriously, come on, Mike.
That's how you balance your diet.
I'm liking Mike's take.
Okay, come on, Mitch. We have Russell Stover caramel. We have Russell Stover coconut. We have Brock's Hershey. We have Hershey eggs all in little wrappers. We have Cadbury cream eggs.
Ooh.
You know what? I've never had a Cadbury cream egg.
But I see it advertised on television every Easter.
And Reese's peanut butter eggs.
Huh.
Those are my guilty.
Okay, there you go, Mitch. There's your Easter basket. Okay, Mike. What do you want?
Oh, I
you
appreciate
want some
I'm
gonna, eggs.
Okay. I'm going to try Cadbury.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Will the little bunny fly out of there?
I don't know.
Or the chicken.
This is going to be so cool. So, Mitch, again, welcome to Hammer Time, my friend, owner of Get Right Mitigation. So before we get into the seriousness of the radio show, are you ready for my verbal description of my funny?
Weekend funny? Absolutely.
Okay. So there's a tank of fish.
Okay.
They're swimming around. They're all cute, pretty fish. And one of the fish says to the other fish, I don't like the looks of this. And when you look across the room, you see a cat sitting at a computer desk, and on the screen, he has scuba gear. He's researching scuba gear.
Finding that way to get in the tank.
I like that. That's a good one.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
I don't like the looks of this, the fish says. There's a little kitty looking at scuba gear. Okay. We've had enough silliness.
I like that.
Let's
Something fishy is going
there
on.
Yes, something very fishy about
something's
that.
Going on. So, Mitch, owner of Get Right Mitigation, why don't you share with our listeners what Get Right Mitigation is and what you do?
So, Get Right Mitigation is a mitigation and restoration company that handles specifically in mold and asbestos abatements. We specialize and are licensed in mold and asbestos abatements, as well as we do water damage to homes, so damage from water heaters and pipe bursts, things like that. We also do commercial structures, office flooding and things like that. If there's any kind of large commercial jobs that need to be done, we also handle that kind of work as well.
So you're the cleanup guy.
We are.
I just put a chocolate egg in my mouth. So do you have a truck full of squeegees and sponges and plastic buckets?
We have a trailer, So we have our van that is usually loaded down with equipment just for the smaller jobs, so that we can respond in a quick fashion to those. When it comes to water damage, especially, timely fashion is incredibly important for what can be saved and what can't. So having us come out quicker than not is best, and being able to do that. But the van stays ready for that, but we also have a very large 16-foot trailer that is loaded down with hundreds of pieces of equipment ready for any of those large losses that may occur as well.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, he just mentioned something very important, which is timeliness. Someone might say, oh, well, I was going to replace that carpet anyway. I'll just wait till Monday and give him a call. The sooner you can get to that remediation, the better, because all of a sudden that water starts going up into your drywall, and that creates the big M word.
Absolutely. Yeah, that period of time, and you pretty much have you know, they say anywhere from 36 to 72 hours is the time frame from the time that moisture is introduced. Now, there's other factors that play in, of course, but that time frame is incredibly important to making that phone call and getting someone out, a professional who knows what they're doing, and at least getting the environment set to, you know, be stabilized. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to go to cutting everything out or removing everything. You know, sometimes that happens, and we try and advise against that. We try and keep things as intact as possible, as long as it's safe for it to stay in the home.
So let's talk about water damage, like a broken fire sprinkler pipe or an ice maker has come undone. We see and hear a lot of that. Washing machine.
Those are the top two, actually. The ice maker line is number one for insurance claims in regards to that. And then washing machine, either the drain line or supply lines are number two.
So, you know, I'm pretty conscientious. I'm always conscious. Well, except when I'm sleeping. Conscientious. When I'm washing clothes at home, I will not put my washer on and leave the house.
Oh.
I'm in the house. I let it run its cycle, and then I leave.
But you're smart, because it's Murphy's Law.
I know.
I can speak from experience in my own home.
Okay, what happened?
Okay, so 2 weeks ago, my wife was doing laundry, and she's, you know, we have four children, so she's doing all the bedding and everything, and so she leaves the house to go to the store, pick up an order, comes back, and she had started the washer, and the whole kitchen floor is just covered in water. Yeah, backed right up out the pipe, just wasn't able to pass through the pipe. Something got clogged and, yeah, flooded the... So me, of course, I've now somehow come up with a whole new laundry room since then. I diverted. The piping wasn't working, so we just bypassed and went to a new realm. But, yeah, I mean, it is as simple as just running to the store. And, you know, even in a house where the professionals live, it can happen to all of us. So it is... very real.
And it's amazing the types of things that can happen. You think, oh, I've got good, I just put my hoses in a couple years ago.
Everything's fine.
And there's one client of mine that started the machine and took off, went over to the neighbors, came back. And what had happened is when it started to do the drain cycle, the drain that goes from the washer in that has usually a U-shaped
Has the hook on it.
That goes in. It wasn't secured into that pipe, and it blew it out.
The pressure behind it.
Pressure behind it.
There.
So that thing was draining all over the laundry room.
And it's, you don't realize how much water your washing machine drains until it is on your floor.
Yes.
It sounds, I mean, when it goes in the pipe, it sounds like it's really not that much water. But when you're looking at it in front of you, there's a whole lot of water that comes out of those.
Yeah. Good point.
So water cleanup, to get it in there, you clean up, you dry out. So then what happens? Let's just say that the environmental cleanup for an overflowing washing machine happened on a Saturday morning. Does the homeowner, who do they call? I mean, do they call you? Do they call their insurance agent?
So, yes.
Do they call the fire department?
Yeah, absolutely. So, honestly, and this is kind of where it gets tricky. So, a lot of people will say to call your insurance company first. It's actually in your policy, in most people's policies, if you read, that it is your responsibility to take care of that issue, to stop the problem from getting worse before moving forward with contacting
them.
And so a lot of people, the first call, of course, in a panic, and rightfully so, they're wanting to call those people who protect them. And so that's the first call. And not that it's wrong, because a lot of times if you do contact them, they will be able to provide you with a professional as well. But you can save some of that heartache and time behind that by just contacting a professional yourself up front, and then just letting the insurance company know, hey, I have a professional I've already called. We've stopped the leak. We've stopped the damage. They've started drying. This is where we're at. And then we can come in and work with that insurance company to say, this is what we've done to this point. Here's what needs to happen, and so on from there.
I just want you to know that you are my professional.
I appreciate
Should I have an overflow, I will be calling you.
but there is, he brings up a good point, because that's, I believe that's called consequential damage. So if you were to say, gosh, my insurance agent is on a week-long cruise, but it's not that big a deal, I'll just get a hold of him, just flood it in the laundry room, I'll get a hold of him when he gets back in town. Well, not only could the M word be developing mold, but it also could do damage to flooring that, had it been addressed immediately, would not have occurred. So you could be on the hook. And again, depends on your insurance company, but you could be on the hook for those consequential damages of not reporting or doing something immediately.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
They can actually, they can fully deny a claim.
Because you didn't take immediate action.
Not taking immediate action.
Interesting.
Absolutely. Very rare. I've very rarely seen that. They are very usually good about it. But I have had a couple of occasions where the coverage was not done because the client waited a period of time.
So keep Mitch's number handy.
Yes. Listeners, we have to take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation with Mitch Zimbeck, owner of Get Right Mitigation, and we are going off to munch on our chocolate Easter eggs. And Mitch can open up his Reese's peanut butter eggs.
I was just waiting for break.
And our engineer is over here munching. How you doing, my friend? Thumbs up, he says. He can't talk. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
We are back on air. We're happily munching on our chocolate Easter eggs and our peanut butter eggs. Mitch, how you doing over there?
I am in heaven. It's a beautiful day with some Reese's eggs.
Yes. There you go.
You know what? I love deviled eggs, Berry Barb, but I kind of like chocolate Easter eggs too. What can I say?
They both have a good place.
They do. Yeah. Now, your wife, I'm going to do a little road trip diversion here. Your wife is Stephanie?
Savannah. Yes.
And she makes cupcakes.
She does. She is the owner of Savvy's Sweets here in town. So she does all kinds of cupcakes. She does weddings. She does birthdays, all kinds of stuff.
I mean, these cupcakes are just like too beautiful to eat.
It's bad. Yeah. So good. They're so good.
So do you get to sample all of them?
I do. Yeah. I had to stop, though. Yeah. I gained about 20 pounds, and I was like, I love you, honey, but I know your cupcakes are good.
Good for her. So Savvy Sweets, and she's like the cupcake queen.
She does amazing.
Wedding queen. Okay, yep. Good for you. So why do you like what you do?
You know, I would have to say my passion in life is helping people. Although Get Right was a very strange way into that, what I wanted to do in life was actually nursing. I have two family members that are nurses.
Wow.
So I actually wanted to go into the medical field, and life happened. And so coming into Get Right, it was an opportunity to give back to people, to help people in their times of need. When a lot of people that I found, especially in this industry, have a tendency to take advantage of those people. That was something that really bothered me by the industry. And so my business partner and I at the time, you know, kind of determined that there was a need for someone who could produce that same result, but do it, you know, with honesty and integrity. And so that's why we formed our company. And now 6 years later, here we are.
You're right, though, because people in an emergency like that, they're in a very vulnerable state.
It is. That's probably the part that bothered me the worst is, you know, seeing people in that state and unable to really make those decisions because of things going on around them, and to have people not give them the proper advice and try and help them, but instead try and benefit from it. You're going to benefit anyways. You're there in multiple ways. You're going to benefit. You're going to benefit as a person by helping them. You're going to benefit as a business just by doing your job. There's no need to go above and beyond and do something unkind, unlawful, unethical, just to make an extra dollar.
And
you're ultimately,
right.
that's what we found.
And we see that. It's happened right here in our communities.
Yeah, in various ways.
Yes, you're right. So good for you. So besides water cleanup, water damage, fire sprinklers, washing machines, hose bibs coming in, bathtubs overflowing, toilets overflowing, what other types of cleanup?
So we do mold remediation. So we're licensed and certified in mold remediation. We're also licensed and certified in asbestos abatements.
Right.
So we handle asbestos abatements. And then we also do biohazard and trauma cleanup. Unattended deaths, things such as that, crime scene cleanups, things, like that. Even things as simple as just a biohazard situation, where chemicals have been introduced and, the materials need to be cleaned up and things like that. We will handle things like that.
So in the biohazard cleanup, how do you know what to clean the chemical up with? Or do you use soapy water? Do you use vinegar? How do you know what to add to that cleanup so you don't, as they say, add fuel to the fire?
Well, that's going to be a mixture of things. Training and safety data sheets. If you're using safety data sheets, that will tell you what to and not to mix your proper chemicals with. So that's a good start. At the very least, read the label. There's usually a safety label on there that'll tell you what to mix and not mix with. But a lot of it is training, education, the licensing and stuff. We are certified in bio and trauma cleanup, so we had to go through extensive courses. Our guys have gone through extensive training to understand what materials have to come out if they've been touched by those things, what to mix those certain chemicals with if they need to be cleaned up. It's a very fine line, and it takes a lot of education. I don't want to say trial and error because that is definitely not the
right
way to say that. But there's a lot of education and information that has to be gained before you should be playing with things like that.
So when you're playing with things like that you say, the biohazard cleanups, are you suited up in white uniforms and gloves and goggles and air packs?
Yeah, so just depending on the situation, it depends. There's certain situations that don't call for a full hazmat gear.
Okay.
Now there's, obviously if there's any time there's any kind of potential for harm to the lungs for our employees, there's always going to be masks worn at that point with gas and vapor cartridges. And then there's also the potential if there's, in the cases of unattended deaths or crime scene cleanups or even just accidents, you have situations where you have bloodborne pathogens and things that can be in the air. So those types of situations are where you're going to need to have that full hazmat gear, down to the nines. Everything is protected. And that's just for the safety, obviously, of the people doing the work so that they're not being exposed.
Makes sense.
So how do you stay up on training? Is it just a one-time training, or do they have to religiously go back every year?
So we actually have there's a renewal that's required every year, and then there's also so it's a group that's called IICRC. They're out of Las Vegas, and they actually kind of dictate the different certifications and stuff that we in the restoration industry work under. So our water certifications, both for commercial and residential drying, structural drying, those are through them. The microbial mold remediation is also through them. The bio cleanup, they also offer carpet cleaning and all kinds of different things. But they offer a lot of these professional certifications, and they have requiring continual education credits that you're required to do.
Good.
On top of your renewals. So that way you're continuing to learn and gain that information, not just getting it once, like you said, and then,
cool,
only knowing what you learned that one time.
Wow. So you're like constantly moving and learning and sharing and educating.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's always, the part of the great thing about our age today, there's some bad things, but a lot of the good about today with the technology and things that we have is a lot of information is coming out that's helpful in these cases. So, it's giving people that information that we didn't used to have. And so it's giving us better ways to do things.
Perfect.
better processes. So.
Okay, listeners, We have to take another Easter egg chocolate munching break. This is kind of fun.
Yes, it is.
I think we should do this every show. I'll just bring in goodies and we'll munch while we're on commercial break.
I'm thinking next time it's cupcakes.
Okay. Oh, yes.
I think he's coming back next week.
Okay, we'll be back. Listeners, we're going to go munch. Don't move. You're listening to Hammer Time on KQNA 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and the web, kqna.com, and 95.5. With our guest, Mitch Zimbick, owner of Get Right Mitigations. Don't move.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Welcome back to Hammer Time. You know what the worst thing is about these little Hershey chocolate eggs?
I have to laugh if you could only see. Sandy paints a very vivid picture when she's talking about her comics. What she doesn't paint is when she's talking, she's got this lump in her cheek where she's got an egg stuffed in there.
I'm like the little chipmunk.
The chipmunk story, yeah.
But the worst thing about these Hershey eggs,
yes,
they're so difficult to unwrap. You can't find the end to fold to get at the edge.
Yeah.
I like the other Hershey kisses that have the little string that you pull.
Pull it right open.
I think I'm going to write Hershey a letter and say I need a string to pull on the chocolate
egg. I've run out of patience.
I know. And then by the time you finally find out where the edge is, you've been twirling it so long between your fingers and your thumbs.
It's getting warm.
That the egg is getting warm
starting to melt. Yeah.
You know what? What trials and tribulations we have this morning.
Oh, woe is me.
Have you tried your Cadbury?
I will try that.
While we're on air, I want to see what happens.
No, because you're going to call on me just as I get that big thing in my mouth.
Okay, back to Mitch. Get Right Mitigation. What is the most difficult thing about your job?
I would say the most difficult thing is learning how to take care of people in those times of difficulty, the right way. It's very easy to not to just jump in and sometimes jumping in and helping, although it appears to be helpful and it appears to be the right thing. Sometimes taking a step and thinking about it and understanding how people work is incredibly important. You know, before that.
You know what? And you're so right. I get a lot of phone calls with stress from people in their life and their kitchen's falling apart and this and that and this has happened. Knowing how to get into their situation and bring them back down to a levity position it's a big deal to learn and to be able to handle.
Absolutely. It's that difference and this is a mistake I made early on in business, but it's the difference between sympathy and empathy.
Yes.
You have to be able to empathize mm-hmm. with where they are. You have to understand where they're coming from and why they're upset, why they're distraught and try and help with that. Be that savior in that moment for them. Whereas being a sympathizer for them does not necessarily help them.
It doesn't.
You know, it's oftentimes it takes you into a hole where you are no longer looking at it for their best interest. You've now clouded the vision of your own self because you're looking at it from a sympathetic aspect instead of just putting yourself in their shoes, empathizing with them and helping them, being the professional to take care of them.
And it might be just so easy as to say, let me explain. Let's take a couple minutes. Let me explain what we're going to be doing and why we're going to be doing so that we're all on the same page.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The power of communication is everything.
So important.
That is such a big learning point for us is that communication piece. It's so simple to drop. It's so easy to mm-hmm. forget about, but it's so powerful and important. It really is.
So, Mike, why do you have two rubber bands on your wrist? What are you trying to remember?
I forgot. No. I took those off a set of plans this morning when I unrolled them. I rolled them back up and put them in my back seat, and I didn't put the rubber bands
around. Oh, so now they're going to come all unrolled.
if I don't get to him fairly quickly.
You just reminded him, so now he's going to go outside. You know, he's going to have
and
to go
I don't
outside.
Even have a rubber band on my wrist.
So I want to take back. I want to take Mitch back for a second just to the educational and updates and let him know how that transitions to other facets of life, because I really appreciate the fact that he and his employees continually educate themselves and update themselves on the
yes.
standard procedures.
You're right.
And that is precisely why I've tried to keep away from doing any house cleaning to help my wife. It's not that I don't want to help her, but I may not have the current trends
updated
and
knowledge.
Right, to put into play. Absolutely.
To know how to run that vacuum cleaner.
Sorry, dear.
You are such a brat. Seriously,
I think Mitch. I think I'm going to have to tell Savannah that as well.
Oh, don't listeners.
You're right. I probably shouldn't.
You better not.
No, but it is very true. It is very true. It's incredibly important. You know, the world changes so often, and we're always learning new things about how we can do better in certain areas. And so, having that continued education and keeping up on it's incredibly important.
And we've seen in other parts of life that sometimes what we've been told is absolutely off base and can't do that ends up being the appropriate cure, or vice versa.
Absolutely. I'll give you a great example of that when it comes to microbial. If you actually look on the EPA's website, and I actually pulled a link to this and posted it on Facebook for a client one time, but it says on the EPA's website, if you look it up, do not use bleach on mold.
I know. Yes. And
there is an article on the EPA.
People
if you
it
read
all the time.
It, it says do not.
I know.
So, and the reasoning behind that, aside from the effect that it has on your lungs, because of course it's so harsh on your lungs, is it actually, there's something in the microbial that actually deactivates what in bleach is set to kill it.
Hmm.
So you're spraying it with something. The mold or microbial is deactivating what you're spraying on it, the part of it that actually kills things, so it's not actually working.
Let's talk about mold, because not all mold is black mold, and rarely is it black mold.
Very true.
And the homeowner, oh my gosh, you've got black mold. Mrs. Smith, let's calm down. It's not black mold. It looks black, but it's not black mold, and there are a gazillion different types of mold. So how do you share and teach folks about mold?
So I think the biggest thing when it comes to any kind of microbial growth is the importance of just understanding. It's important to be aware of it. It's another thing to fear it. Microbial is not necessarily something that you need to fear as long as it's taken care of, right? But it is something to be aware of. Now, with those certain types of mold, again, you referenced my favorite, the black mold.
Right.
Black mold, of course, it's actually referenced to a specific type of mold called Stachybotrys. And Stachybotrys is considered to be one of the most harmful types of mold to the human body. And so that is why, with respiratory issues and things like that, is a huge concern. And so that's why it was made to be this big, scary thing. And again, rightfully so, if you do have it in your home and it's in a large amount, it is something that needs to be taken care of. However, if it was something that just came about recently, you know, the likelihood of the effects of that having something severely harmful on you right away, it's not likely high, you know, and so that's where I try and come from that perspective of, you need to be, you know, respectful of mold. You need to understand it can harm you. It definitely can, and it can be a bad thing. However, most of it is not as bad as what people think. And so, you know, making sure that you have a professional take care of it and, you know, get someone out there to take a look at it and give you that perspective and that professional opinion to see if it is something dangerous or not dangerous. You know, can we just take care of this way, or do we need to go the whole rigmarole and set up a full containment and get everything, you know, done up? You know, that those things can be dictated by that.
Very well put.
When we come back from our break, our Hershey chocolate egg eating break and our Reese's peanut butter egg break, Mitch, I want to, people call and they say, oh, we think we have mold. I have a headache. I can't breathe. How, I need to be tested for mold. I want to talk about air quality testing and how that works in a home.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So don't move, listeners. We three munchers, four munchers. We have the engineer who's over here munching. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Welcome back to Hammer Time. I forgot to share with our listeners and Mitch our show last weekend with Chris Crosby. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal show. That young guy is a genius. He's a remarkable contractor.
Yes, he is.
And his story about leaving California on mm-hmm. a Greyhound bus with his skill saw, totally cute.
It was.
Great family man, beautiful children. You can meet him at our home show. But he is the deck wizard, I think, of all deck wizards.
And good to know that somebody, when they specialize in an industry or a
yes.
segment of the industry, good to know those people.
Yes.
Good to get that name out.
He's a great man. He's going to be at the home show, Mitch.
Do you
know Chris?
No, I do not, but I need my back deck. So I just bought my house last year.
Uh-huh.
So I'm working through all kinds
Perfect.
Of kinks, and I need a deck guy.
He is such a good man.
No, that's phenomenal.
He's going to be at the home show. And listeners, you can meet Mitch. Get Right Mitigation. You're going to be at the home show.
Absolutely. We will be there.
With your team, with
yes.
your hazmat stuff?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that would be cool to be in your booth with your hazmat gear on.
So last year we had a mannequin with our hazmat
yes,
stuff
that's right.
on. That was Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle the mannequin. This year I'm not sure what we're going to do just yet with that. I don't know. It might be me. I might do like one of those live mannequins, you know, where I'm standing there in the suit and standing perfectly still.
Don't get any ideas about putting me in the suit.
You know, this sounds so fun with both those guys being there. You and I ought to go to the home show this year. What do you think?
Mike, you know what? I think that's an excellent idea. Let's go to the home show and let's walk a gazillion miles.
Seems like deja vu.
It is deja vu. It was only almost a year ago.
Correct.
So anyway, listeners, our home show, May 17th, 18th, and 19th, Finley Toyota Center. Come on by, y'all. You'll get to meet wonderful, super cool vendors, YCCA members, industry partners, and the likes. So, back to mold testing. If someone says, Mitch, they call and they say, Sandy, we think we have mold. We can smell it. We're not sure. I have a headache. Can we send a mold tester?
Absolutely. So, yeah. So the best case scenario for those solutions is to come up with a company, a testing company, a sampling company who can come out to the property and take physical samples. So they need to take a sample outside. So that's called your ambient air sample. So you need a sample outside basically to tell, and a lot of people don't understand this, there's mold outside.
Yes,
you're breathing it in
we
all
are.
Day long.
That's what
you know,
I tell
so,
people.
So that's something that a lot of people don't understand. So that's part of what the importance is of having that ambient sample is, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I only want the one sample inside my house. I only want, you know,
doesn't
this room.
Do any good.
It doesn't do you any good because you need a baseline to go off
compare.
Of. So there's that ambient sample, and then you'll have them take one or multiple samples, depending on how many areas in the house. And then they'll send that to a professional laboratory. So they don't actually do any kind of the processing of it. It goes to a professional laboratory, and then those results come back.
So how do you get an ambient sample? Do you have, like, do you suck the air in?
So there's actually, there's a little pump system that they use to take the samples with, and then there's little cartridge, little cassettes that go on the end of them that cap them,
yeah.
and then you pull the cap off while you're testing, and it pulls the air through
okay.
that cassette and through the machine, so it keeps that airflow pumping, and it goes for, I want to say that it's certain testing is for certain periods of time, but I want to say it's at 15 volume for 5 minutes is the minimum sampling requirements. So you do that and it goes through that system, and then you cap that same cassette at the end of that when, you know, before you turn the pump off. And then that's your sample that you're utilizing.
In that particular room.
In that particular room or outside.
And then you go to another room
Correct.
And start all over again with
yes.
the cassette and the plunger and
yep.
the cap.
Yep. Yeah, each room usually has its own sample unless it's open to other areas. A lot of times you'll see like a living room,
right,
for instance, that's kind of open to a kitchen. You don't necessarily need to test the living room area. We have more inclination that it's coming from the kitchen area than the living room because of all of the water sources that are in the kitchen. So usually in that case, we'll just say one, and then we'll do a visual inspection kind of thing. That way we're visually getting the idea of, do we find something in the kitchen that's causing what we're seeing, as opposed to just saying, oh, let's test in the living room, let's test in the kitchen, let's test in the bathroom. We try and recommend sampling the correct amount of samples appropriate for what you're looking for.
So has it ever come back to your knowledge to where when they tested the baseline outside error that, oh my gosh, yes, there are some spores, mold spores, but there's a trashy amount of pollen out there.
A ton.
Yeah,
we get a ton of pollen in our samples when we send those in. So yeah, that is definitely a thing. I have actually only seen two results come back where the ambient air outside was truly heavily dirtier
than inside.
And that's the important thing to know when you're looking at those sampling results from a sampling company is the outside ambient air is what you're really looking to base your house off of. What does it look like out there? If I have the same spore count or less inside my home as outside, and they're all the same types of species of mold, then you're more than likely, you don't have an issue. It's just common air being shared between. Now, if inside is three times the amount, yes, that's a call for concern. And at that time, we would recommend, calling an abatement company to come out and start inspecting a little bit more based on the test results.
Okay.
Of, where is this issue coming from? Let's find a source.
So if they called you, the abatement company, to come out, where do you start? I mean, the air filters under the kitchen sink.
So,
what is your process?
Absolutely. So a lot of times what we'll do is we'll take the sample results, we'll look at those, and based on what rooms are close to them, based on what water sources are close to them, different things like that, we'll go there first. Those are the most common. Those are the easiest to rule out if they're not the issue. So that's where we go first to try and save time. Instead of just going and cutting into people's walls, and we'll go to those areas, your laundry rooms, your kitchens, under the sinks, water heaters, toilets, even your exterior pipes, your faucets, your spigots from the outside, those water lines coming in inside of closets and things, we'll try and find those on the exterior of the house as well and try and look in those specific areas.
So let's say we have a bathroom and its mold count is way higher than the ambient air. Mm-hmm. So that says, oops, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you go into the bathroom. You don't see any leak around the toilet. You look under the cabinet. There's no water leakage. Something is occurring underground.
So potentially, or inside the wall.
Yes.
A lot of times it could be something that's hidden where we can, and what we would do in that case, if we've exhausted all options possible, before this, then we will start drilling holes. So what we'll do is we'll drill small holes into certain areas, and then we have cameras that go into the wall cavities, and we can check those wall cavities for moisture damage, for microbial growth, things like that, just to verify.
Super.
Okay, listeners, we have to take a break, and when we come back, Mitch, Mike, and me. Mitch, Mike, and me.
The triple M's.
Mitch, Mike, me, and the engineer. We'll be right back. Don't move.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Mitch, it was such a pleasure having you with Mike and me this morning on Hammer Time. You are quite the Wikipedia of renovation and mold remediation and asbestos remediation and water cleanup and biohazards.
We'll give him a capital K for knowledge.
We'll give him a Reese's peanut butter.
Yes. Yes. Better. My favorite.
A reward.
A reward. Share your phone number and website so our listeners can reach out to you.
No, and thank you so much for having me on the show. It's an absolute pleasure. We love Hammer Time.
Thank you.
We love YCCA. So thank you so much for everything that y'all do. Our phone number for our office, if you need anything at all, is 928-420-2682. And our webpage is www.getrightaz.net.
Listeners, as I said, you can come by the home show May 17th, 18th, and 19th. Meet with Mitch and his team. Ask any questions. And keep your home environment safe and free of pesky allergens.
And if you can't find her, you look for Sandy, and she'll take you to her booth.
I will. I'll take you right to Mitch's booth. So thanks, you guys, for eating chocolate Easter eggs with me this morning. Tomorrow, Sunday, happy Easter. We love you. Remember the reason for this beautiful, bright day.
Yes.
Smile, wear your seatbelt. We love you, and thank you for tuning in to Hammer Time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Happy Easter.
Hammer Time.
Thank you for tuning in to Hammer Time. Waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Heard each and every Saturday morning at 7, with an encore presentation Sunday mornings at 7 on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and online at kqna.com. A library of past Hammer Time shows can be listened to on the Yavapai County Contractors website at ycca.org.
Break it down!